Jesus' name. And Father, we come before you right now, Lord God, with grateful hearts, Father, with thanksgiving, Lord God, for just your many blessings, Father, the way that you watch out for your people, Lord, the way that you lead us through, Father, and sometimes even just carry us through, Lord God, this journey of life. And Lord, right now, Father, we just leave every care, we leave every concern, Father, we leave every burden at the side, Lord God, and we just look to you, Father. You said in your word that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, Father. They will mount up with wings as eagles. And so, Lord, they will run and not grow weary, Lord. And Lord, so right now we just we wait upon you, Father God. We wait upon you, for you are the source of our strength. You are the source of our life and our hope. And Lord, right now we put our hope and our trust in you. And Lord, accordingly, Father, too, we just also seek you, Lord, your Spirit, Father, that leads and guides us into all truth. Father, as we spend some time, Lord God, in your word, Father God, and as we spend some time just even discussing, Father, we pray, Lord, that Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would speak to us, to each and every heart, Father, and that you also would just open up, Lord God, the scriptures to us, Father, and our understanding, Lord. Because, Lord, you said your people perish for lack of knowledge, Father. And so we desire the knowledge that comes from you, Father, for the truth that does set us free. And so, Lord, this evening, Father, as we go forward in Jesus' name. I get out of the way and invite the free flow of your Spirit, Father. I ask and pray, Lord, that all things that are not of you, Father, be taken out, Lord God, so that there is a free flow, Lord, of your will and your Spirit in this place. And go on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we finished last series, so question and answer first, and then we start. Yeah? No, anything. Thoughts.
There was something that I wanted to ask, like not to
Ah. Okay.
What can you say about consciousness?
What about consciousness? Not that I know the answers to all this stuff, but it's good to put the questions out there and see. What about consciousness?
As in, what's your opinion about consciousness?
Well, we have it. Or at least you have what you relate to.
What exactly? Okay, I know what consciousness does, but
you have to frame your question.
Yeah, no, I'm actually trying to make the question in my head.
Conscious of your question about consciousness?
Yeah. Okay, if you can both tell me what your idea about consciousness is, as in your words and your, you know, consciousness.
Your awareness.
Yeah, awareness.
Your awareness, yeah, of the reality that you're in and the reality that you're experiencing.
What does God?
You know, there's a lot of questions that people have wrestled with from, you know, throughout history about, you know, consciousness, about enlightenment, about life here, about, you know, what this world is, because and, you know, in a lot of cases too, people haven't, sometimes they think that they've reached some resolution, other times they're like, wait, maybe I didn't, like the whole Zen thing and all those kind of questions that people ask, like hey, ¿cómo estás? Like, for example, you know, the questions like, okay, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? What's the sound of 1 a.m. clapping? You know, like, I mean, like questions that are designed to ultimately to make you let go of and kind of open your mind up. Because what happens is so often there's a Q&A. What happens is like a lot of times the mind gets so locked in to a limited reality, a limited scope of thought, restricted way of viewing the world, others, our time here. And the byproduct of it is you're not open to the possibility.
All that we see and believe in, you know, we have the ability to think and, you know, analyze things, and we, some or other, are in a conditioned environment,
mm-hmm.
and we condition our thoughts as well, and we don't think beyond a certain point. So what if we go beyond that, and beyond that, and beyond that?
And that's a fantastic thing. Because the thing is for one thing too, is, I mean, one thing that we know for sure is that the reality that we're in right now, and the reality that you and I this moment are experiencing, is not the only one. Because the very fact that we die and that we leave this reality and we go on into something else, and there's a lot of people that were here before experiencing this reality that aren't here now experiencing the same thing, leaves us to know that, okay, there's more than this. See, it's terrifying to people that especially that bank their whole lives on this. So I think personally what I've seen is people that dare to look into those things are at least opened up to the possibility of truth, or at least open up to the possibility of, or if not truth, at least something past it. Even if they want another manifestation of the lie, they're still looking for something beyond the natural, material, carnal world, which is a very base frame of reference that most of the people of the world get stuck in. Most of the people in the world get wrapped up into what you can see, what you can touch, what you can feel, your five senses, and that's it. And that's like a very base, very low level of existence. Then you have spiritual people that realize there's more than this, and then there's those that are on the dark side, you know, that develop themselves in a realm of spirit and understand spiritual things and all that, but most of that is done, you know, by and large through demonic interactions and spiritual unions on that side. But there is the revelation that Christ gives. Even think about, you know, the early church and the early just people. When their eyes were opened to who God was, who Jesus was, all of a sudden their consciousness, if you would, their entire frame of reference changed. The things of the world grew strangely dim. All of a sudden now life took on a whole new meaning. Reason for existence took on a whole new meaning. It wasn't about accruing as much as you could in this life and storing up wealth for yourself here, because all of a sudden it didn't mean anything. Because you all of a sudden realize that there's store up your treasure in heaven, where the rust and moth don't destroy. Thieves don't break in and steal. So it's like all of a sudden there's another place, another frame of reference that's worth having. There's as far as like the whole thing about consciousness, the question sometimes of too, like, okay, when I see blue and what I refer to blue, do you see the same blue? You know, when I talk about and it's just like, and then those are things like, okay, interesting to talk about, interesting to deliberate, but in the end you probably won't get the answer in this life anyways. So there's
when does the consciousness stop?
What if it never stops?
Here's
another thing
does our consciousness stop when we sleep? No, our mind is active.
Well, you dream.
That's
you dream.
Exactly.
And see, that's another thing too. Actually, the likelihood that when you dream, it's much more real than when you're awake. Because actually, see, what we live in right now is a dream world. Because this one doesn't last. So that much you do know for sure, is that this world, as real as it may seem, is the illusion.
So when does the consciousness stop? So does it, can you say it's a spirit as well? I mean, can you, I don't know, it's too complex.
A lot of people don't even want to deal with these questions, so they just kind of like, you know,
no,
go drink and just subdue the whole thing. You remember, like, we use the analogy of, like, you're driving on a motorcycle, you know, and you have the motorcycle itself is like your body. And the soul and the spirit is the person that's on the top. Now, all of a sudden, something hits the spokes of the bike and the bike is ripped out from under you. What happens to the body? It's still, or what happens to the person on the top? It still keeps moving in the direction.
So would you say consciousness and spirit are the same?
Consciousness, soul, spirit, wrapped up into the same thing. So your ability to perceive, and in fact, a lot of people that have had out-of-body experiences as such, you know, like things like that, that have then, you know, like had these experiences, near-death experiences, death experiences, where all of a sudden they've come back, they still have their senses. They see, they hear, they feel, then they talk about this, they're like, okay, they still had their senses in operation, but so their senses were not their physical body. Their physical body allowed for the experiencing of those senses in the natural material world, but those senses themselves are part and parcel of the soul and so of the spirit. So basically, when you leave your body, you still have your senses. In fact, they're heightened. So you will see more, you will feel more, those will be stronger, if you would, than even right now. Because see, even now it's kind of like, because we have a body that's, you know, not perfect, we have a limited sense of feel and expression compared to what you will have.
Does animals have consciousness?
Do animals?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask them. Obviously you can communicate with animals on a certain level. Like if you have a dog or you have a cat, you can. So there is certain, but then.
So there's no soul in them, right?
Don't know.
It's difficult to say.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, there's stuff about like a lot of witchcraft stuff has to do with like animal spirits and things like that as well. But and you know, you notice sometimes too with like demonic manifestations in people, how particularly like snake for some reason. I mean, just because like, but like, it will have, be like snakes. I mean, when they start manifesting in people. So, I think it's good to focus on like one particular one, and then you take it out with those questions. But I mean, the question of, you know, the reality that you experience and how do you relate to it and how do you process it, realizing that the reality that you know and that you see is not, well, one, is not the only one. And that what we're in right now is not a lasting reality. Excuse me. So because of that, it's worth the pursuit of then, okay, well, what is the reality that's worth understanding, knowing, perceiving? So, I mean, that's why, too, so much of the Bible, again, is even about, you know, understanding that reality, understanding what's really important. So, like in Ephesians 6, when we've been talking about, you know, you battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. It's like, okay, now it's like, all right, you may be battling and having a problem with a person or a group, but when you realize that, wait a second, it's not them, it's the spiritual power behind them that's really your fight, all of a sudden now you begin to understand what the reality is of the situation. So you don't get mad at a person, you understand there's something behind them that's really controlling them. So the important thing, I think, with is to really search for what is truth and what is reality. Because then if you understand that, it puts a whole nother spin on than what you experience on a day-to-day. So you don't get wrapped up in the illusionary world and the material world. Though you're here, there are some things to enjoy in this world, for sure. because God also made and created this world that we're in. But you also have the world system in operation here as well. So, does that...
Well, that subject, you can argue about it and split hairs on it.
And sometimes some arguments and some debates for sure are just fruitless. You know, because the thing of, okay, is the blue I see the same blue that you see? Or is really what I think is green in the end blue to you, and what you think is blue in the end is green to me? And, you know...
So basically, what you say is consciousness, spirit and soul is the same thing.
Well, your consciousness is hooked into your soul, yeah. Your awareness, your perception of reality. And so, and the thing about the need to open up your mind to possibility past the reality that you know and experience, that's essential, that's necessary. So, like, when I look at like a lot of some of like those Zen questions are cool. You know, like, what's the sound of one hand clapping? Like, okay, that gets the mind to release, you know, from... Because, again, the thing about consciousness and, again, even conditioning is to get you so locked into reality being something that you can control, predict, understand... And it's much more expansive than that. So rather than locked in, closed, to open up your mind to be able to receive whatever it is that God is speaking and showing. Because that's the thing too. When he had his Damascus Road experience, it just fried him. Because he was so locked in to a particular frame of reference and method of thought that it took him 3 years to open up to really begin to understand and rewire so that he could then go out and carry out the assignment that God gave him. So that's the other thing too, is part of this is also like, okay, if God were to show you that everything you ever believed was wrong, would you go with that? So if everything you ever believed and thought was incorrect, and he was to reveal that to you, what would you do?
I would hold on to
it. Yeah. And see, the people of God, those that are truly his, do that. They're basically like, Lord, whatever, we'll go with you. You know, if the reality of it is that white is black and black is white, then...
You might not understand what's going on, but... You know, from what we have experienced with him, the walk and all his provisions and answered prayers, and there has to be a God.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is no doubt there.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We might not understand certain things, you know, I mean, because we're taught, you know, absorb it in a different way, and our minds analyze it in a different way. So, but we do know that there is a higher being, and you know, that's in control of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we pray, and even when we have the discussion, he's aware of that.
Yeah.
So I guess in due time, you know, it will be revealed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's another thing too, is that also it's like part of it also is a progression in your walk with him, because there are different things that that God wants to reveal, but we're not ready for them yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like 5 years ago, you wouldn't have asked probably certain questions 5 years ago.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you probably understand certain things now better than when you were then.
Yeah.
5 years ago. So,
there are also some maybe experience where you ask the questions, but you know your answers, you get the answers later on when you're strong enough.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just trying to think of the scripture, and I don't have the mark.
Or even it's always been there, but it's just that we're not mature enough.
I've actually had that where, you know, I got the answers only when I was ready to
accept it.
Not accept it, more like I'm strong enough to handle it.
Yeah.
So until the last long.
You were sending them to this. I actually was working on it.
No, you're fine. No. the thing too is with, even Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, like, at one point he's like, look, there's a lot of stuff, there's many things that I want to share with you, but right now you're not ready for it. And see, this is part also of the need for us to continue to walk in spirit and continue to go forward with him, because as you do, you're ready to receive more. And then when you receive something, once that knowledge comes to you, now it must be tested. Mm-hmm. Because untested knowledge is really worthless. Like, I mean, we were talking recently about the whole exercise thing. Like, it's if you have an exercise routine, but if you don't use it, you can know everything there is about physiology and diet and all of that stuff, but at the end of the day, if it's not utilized, it's not put into practice, then it's worthless. So the same thing even with the gospel too, and with truth, is that it's one thing to to know, you know, to have a mental knowledge, but it doesn't become true until it becomes put into practice and applied. And so that's why too, it's like what happens with God is that he will expose and reveal something to you of himself, and then you have to live that out and walk that out. And as you do that, and now you see it's true, and this builds your faith which is trust in God, then the next thing that happens is now you're ready to receive something else. So for example, you learn God's provision because he provides, and you learn to trust him in that area. So now he then says, okay, now I want you to go to Outer Mongolia. Well, okay, you've learned that God will provide, and even if all you do is get on a plane or a boat and you go there with nothing but a stick, you know that God will provide and take care of you. So now that lesson's learned. So because that lesson is learned, and it may be tested and stretched in you a bit more, but you've learned that God provides, now he's ready to show you something else. So now that one's taken care of, it's solidified in your soul, now you can learn something maybe about God's protection. And so now when you deal with another situation where now, okay, it's no longer God's provision, that's a given, but now you're following what he has for you to do, and now your life is under threat or something else, and now you start learning about, okay, God's angels that are assigned to you, or the power of prayer, or you see what I'm saying? So like each of these, because John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So there is eternal life, is knowing God, is being consummated with God. And so God is working us also towards that, and helping us and bringing us to this place where we become a reflection of him. And that's why too, it's like with this is also why sometimes I have an issue with the organized religion, is because what it does is just seeks to get people in one spot and keep them there and control them in that, and never let them, you know, even get outside the box to live life here. And so much of what's taught is not applicable to the lives that people are living while they're here in this life, on this planet. So whatever it is that God shows you, you have to go with it. And then be honest, does it work? So, yay, nay? Does that help?
Yes.
But, you know, one of the best things that we can do is when God shows us something, when He shows us anything, just to grab hold of it, to walk with it, to, with reckless abandon, go after what God shows you. And then you fully embrace that reality of what He shows you. And then you're ready then for the next thing. And but it's also, even too, it's not something that man will do for you. It's something that God will show and reveal to you. And you have to be true to that. And so you know in your heart whether you're connected with Him or not. And if you are, then you walk out with confidence what He shows you. Another one? You had your question, Audrey.
Yeah. I can't remember what that was. But the very often my voice kind of drowns God's voice, and I'm not too sure which one I'm listening to.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that one a while back. Was that soul chatter? Is that the mind of the soul? It's the mind. Yeah, and that's another one. No, that's a good one you raised, Oz. Okay, that voice is not you. And to realize that voice is not you. To realize the thing, because it speaks to you in your own voice, the sound of your own voice.
Which means your mind has a mind of its own.
Your mind has a mind of its own that needs to be silenced.
How do you do that? It's very difficult, Chi.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, it's like, you know, you kind of say, okay, I want to leave it in the hands of God, you
yeah.
know. If this is God's will, you know, let it happen kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're fighting against, you know, your inner self of, you know, kind of wanting something that you like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you want to go in that direction.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, you know, God, can you help me in this, you
mm-hmm.
know. And then it's like, you know, I mean, you're not too sure whether this is, you know, God really wanting you to have or
yeah.
not.
Well, one thing is that voice in your head is not you. And once you realize that isn't you, it all of a sudden it's a whole different thing. Because see, what happens is when people have that voice playing in their head, and you've had it for so long, and it speaks to you in the same tone and sound of your own voice, so you think, oh, okay, this is me processing and me thinking about things, but it's not. This is actually something that keeps you enslaved to the world.
It's
not mindset. And that's why too, again, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Why do we have to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus? Because the one that you have, that soul chatter that's going on in your mind, is not you. And that one was the one that is there as even part of the fall to keep you in bondage. So it'll tell you things about yourself that are not true. It will either prop you up or tear you down, but either way, something that will...
So you're saying that this voice will always tell you something negative?
Sometimes like there's mama's boy, you know, like, or there's, you know, or, but whatever. It'll go, but ultimately it's like, what do you do? You take every thought captive and you make it obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is why too the Word is important, because the Word also, the Word enforced by the Spirit of God comes into direct clash with that frame of reference. So for example,
yeah, but at the same time, sometimes we just use it to justify ourselves as well.
No, people do.
And I've heard like people, and I'm thinking, gosh, this is the wrong context.
Because the reason you say that this is the wrong context is because, again, the Spirit of God that's in you, that's leading, guiding you into all truth, when you hear the word misapplied, you're like, wait a second, no, that doesn't work. Because why? Because there's a spirit of truth that resonates when you hear truth. And if you don't hear truth from someone or you don't hear truth in a situation, then it's like, okay, now that doesn't work. And so you, all the way back to even Lucifer with Jesus in Luke chapter 4. I mean, Lucifer's using scripture. He's saying, you know, hey, doesn't the scripture say, you know, that he'll command his angels concerning you, that you won't strike your foot against a stone? So, get up on the top of the temple and throw yourself off. Because isn't it? But what is that? That's application of scripture apart from the Spirit of God and apart from the truth. So in the end, it's like, you know, it's trying to force God's hand, and that's not it. And so when that voice starts to speak in your head, you can even just say Jesus. Just even that, just to line your mind and your thoughts up with Christ, and to not let that thing keep going. Because sometimes what happens is too, you will have something happen in your life, and then as soon as an event happens, that voice will go crazy. So it's like, so for example, you know, you will smack your car, and now all of a sudden it's like, okay, now you need to call the insurance, you need to do this, you need to do that. Well, what am I going to do about my appointment tomorrow? Stop. Jesus. Lord God, you know, here I am. Just had this experience. Lord, I give you complete control over it. Maybe God was keeping you from, you know, having some horrible accident a little bit further away. Or maybe he didn't want you to be somewhere 2 hours from now. Or maybe, you know, I mean, you don't know. We only see a little part of this whole thing. I mean, even the situation we were talking about earlier, it's like, you know, I don't see the whole thing, but we do know that we've committed all things into God's hands. So when stuff may not work out according to maybe our thinking, we still know that God is in control. We still know what His promise is. And so we then quiet our, we silence the voice of the soul so that we can hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And see, but part of that too is also it requires a willingness on your part to, when you hear the voice of the Spirit of God, to submit to the voice of the Spirit of God. So there's a peace when God speaks in your spirit. And there's just like a stillness when that voice sounds. It's just like, ha. Huh. Whereas the voice of the soul will aggravate you, will worry you, will send you all over the place. And there's a lot of people that have been mastered by their soul. So they've been mastered by that voice that plays in their head. That's the voice that you go into a social gathering and be like, oh, why didn't that person say hi? Why didn't that person look at me? Oh, can you believe what that person is wearing over there? That's that
so
voice.
Basically, that's an ego. That yeah. The voice is actually...
Yeah.
That's your part of ego.
Yeah, it needs to be put to death. Ultimately. And see, that's again one of those things that people are afraid of. Because back to the whole thing about consciousness and this thing, that's that voice that also tries to figure out everything. And what people are afraid of is what happens if that voice isn't there anymore. What happens if that voice is not playing in your head anymore and you all of a sudden just are? Like God is I am. What happens if you are just now like Him? I am. And you are just now like Him in this moment, at this time, where the only thing,
how
it's just, where it's just fine for you to be God's child. And for you to be in this moment right now, no past, no future, nothing else really matters. You're just His kid, enjoying the world that He has you in right now. Just enjoying His connection and relationship with Him. And experiencing the reality that He has for you at this moment. Isn't that enough? And the entire world and world system would say no. But God and His people and those that walk with Him would say, oh yeah, that's
we
it.
We overanalyze things. We judge things from the past and what's going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really think of now.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
Well, that's also part of the trick. You see, that's part of also the trick of the world, is to get you to get wrapped up in everything but where you are right now. So to get you to freak out about all the stuff that's happened in your past, or to get you to project ahead 50 years into the future, where you don't know if you got tomorrow. And but all of this stuff to get you going one way or the other, but and then in the end you just miss where you are, which is right now. Where are you right now in relationship to the Spirit of God? Where are you right now in relationship to your connection with Him? If you're not on, then get on. If you are on, then continue to walk and develop that out with Him. Continue to let that be refined. So, and the thing is too, is we're learning, you know, we're walking this thing out. You know, I was reading, I've been getting into the Apocrypha for some reason, which, you know, it's like just additional books in the that weren't included like in the canonized version of the Bible. But, you know, there's one, this is Wisdom of Sirach, and one of the things it just said is like this guy's, you know, just writing out just things to think about. You know, one thing it just said is like, you know, make a note, you know, in your life of the things that are bad for you. He said, and then just, you know, once you know, like just cut them out and keep going. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. But basically it's like, and then the stuff that's good for you, go with it. And it's like, yeah, you know what, why not? I mean, God's given you that power by His Holy Spirit. If you want change, change. If you want something different, go ahead. You know? If you want a different reality than what you've known, well, God's given that to you. You can have that. Why not? Only a slave is stuck in the reality that they know. Only a prisoner has no right or recourse to be able to change what. If you're a free man, if you're a free woman, and you've been set free in Christ Jesus, you have the ability to do that. So it's like, so go with it. So, but there's responsibility that comes with that as well. Yeah, I think people freak out though with the possibility of not having that voice of the soul in their head. I think a lot of people hold on to it because, well, one, they think that it's them and it's not. And when you realize that voice is not you, then you can put it into proper perspective. So think of it like that voice that's playing in your head that speaks in your own tone of voice. Think of it like a third party. You know, you've got the Spirit of God in you, and there's the true you that's there, but that is a third party.
So you have gone through this?
This? Yeah. Because, no, the realization for me was that, wait a second, that's not me. You know, that's not me. So this thing that's putting these thoughts in my head, this thing that's telling me certain things about myself, telling me certain things about who I am, about the reality that I know, about what I will be, about, you know, all of that stuff. When I realized, wait a second, this is not the true me. And see, here's one way too. When I look in the scripture and I see what God says about me, because this is truth, and then when I hear what that voice is telling me, which is lie, and I realize, wait a second, I'm a child of truth. I'm a child of God. This thing tells me that. So this voice can't be mine. And it's not mine. So I refuse to own it. I refuse to own the thoughts that it would put there.
Sometimes it's confusing.
No, it's there to confuse.
It comes very subtly. Just like very crafty, you know. And just deceives you.
Yeah. Well,
it kind of catches on to any sort of emotion that you have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you get better though at also recognizing it. Once you realize, see, when you first, or even right now, just the very fact that you were talking about it and that you have an awareness of the fact that that's not you will make a change. Just that in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But now keep that in the forefront, because also we tend to forget that. I mean, write it on a note and stick it up on your mirror. And just put on the note, just say, the voice in your head is not you. People might think you're crazy when they come over and use your bathroom, but you'll know exactly what it means. in that the voice in your head is not you.
But sometimes, you know, without physically or verbalizing things, you know, you'd rather say it in your head and act it out the way you want it, play it out.
The voice that I want to listen to is that still small voice of the Spirit of God. That voice that once you get past that layer, that kind of that outer husky shell of the soul that just there, once you get past that and you get into the core where Christ is in that core of your being for the child of God, that's the voice I want to hear. That's the voice that the voice of the Spirit of God, that's the one that I want to relate to. That's the one that I want to walk out my direction and my path and the choices that I make. And see, that's why too, it's like it's so important as well that when He shows you something, you go with it. Because also He knows. So He knows who we are. He knows what our reality is. He knows what's going on around us. So if something is good, go with it, because He'll show you. There's, you know, a lot of times too, people focus on all the, you know, don't. No, well, what about do? You know, what about this direction? What about this assignment? What about this phase in life? And with all those things, He's like, yeah, go for it. Yeah, this is from Me. Yeah, this is something I want you to experience. Yeah, this is now something that you're ready to deal with now. Yeah, this is something that I want to now work out in you. You may not have been ready for it 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 months ago, but now you're ready, and now it's time to set you free in this area of your life that you are living in bondage with. Because now you're ready. Because you've been walking with the Spirit of God, now built up your foundation strong, now you're ready to have this dealt with, whatever it is. He'll do that with you. There's sometimes people that have been stuck in bondage for 10, 15 years in a particular place, in a particular area. And if you walk in with the Spirit of God and you're listening to that voice, there come a point where it's like, okay, now. Because what? He came to set the captives free, came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you're listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, John chapter 10, you're walking after the Good Shepherd and He's leading you, comes a point where it's like, okay, this is a limitation to that abundant life that I want you to have. So, because this is a limitation to that, now we're going to deal with it. But that voice will be different than the voice of the soul, the voice of the soul and that husky shell will be, you're never going to be any different. Or, you know, how could you have done this or that? Or, you know better, or you knew better. You know, it's the same voice that will get you to do something and then smack you around for doing it after you did it. You know, it's that same voice. It's that same voice in your head that's at one moment is like, oh yes, okay, go for it. And then the next, how could you have eaten that extra piece of cake?
So much like me.
No, it's the same voice. It's that same voice. It's the same one that is on one side pushing you for the very thing that it will smack you for 2 minutes later. And this is something, first of all, realize that voice is not you. When you realize that voice is not you, then you can diminish that voice into the proper place and break it, destroy it. Break it by the Spirit of God. Don't let it have control over you.
Right now I'm trying to practice, you know, not saying that I think as soon as I think it's needed.
Well, you know,
I think it helps a lot.
No, that does. Because see, here's something too. This is why... this is why also it's important to spend time in the Word, because the Word of God will help. It brings to the surface the thoughts of God, and so when you have the Word of God there on the surface in your life, then when you're not faced with something, the Spirit of God brings the word back to you. Because the Spirit of God is a reminder. And so He reminds you of that which you have given your consciousness, as it was, opportunity to feed on. So there's so many times for me where, you know, like a scripture I haven't read for years will just come back to me when I'm in the middle of a situation. I'll just be like, whoa. I mean, but why? Because that word is alive and true, and God will bring the word back to me so that I now relate to a situation not based on my soul and my that chatter, mental chatter, which will send me all over the place, but now I relate to it out of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You see the difference? And so this is why we have a responsibility there as well. There is something that we can do, but first thing is, know for certain that voice is not you. And actually, even the Zen principle and the pursuit, even with Zen, with the kind of questions that they ask, is to get that mind to shut up. Is to get that mind to let go. Is to get rid of that mind. The whole thing about enlightenment and even the pursuit of enlightenment, if you're really honest about it, is the pursuit of getting past that conscious mind into actual truth. See, they have different ways of framing the same thing, but ultimately they're missing the core foundation of really where that comes from and where that is, which is ultimately that's in Christ. Ultimately that's the Spirit of God. So when what happens with most people, that if you do something like that apart from the Spirit of God, what ends up happening is you just get put into another frame of reference. You just get put into another spiritual reality that's another form of bondage. So rather than being set free from that mental chatter, now you exchange it for a demon. That now a demon is, you know, giving you these thoughts and putting them in your head and everything else like that, and creating spiritual realities, and so now you're having spiritual experiences, but they're not of God. Ultimately, when you seek the Father, when you bow your knee before Him and you ask Him to save you, to set you free, what you're doing is now you are bowing your knee to the dominion of the King, the Kingdom of God, King Dominion, Kingdom. You're bowing your knee to the dominion of the Spirit of God in your life, and now you're receiving from Him reality. Now you're receiving from Him as a subject in the King, to the King. So you are now a subject to the King. Your life is not your own anymore. You belong to Him. And as a member of the Kingdom of God, now also He, because you opened yourself up to the Spirit of God, now you also open up to Him shaping and forming that reality, true reality, in you. And so part of that will be also, at one point too, will be the, just like even now, showing you, okay, you're walking in Kingdom, let me show you something. You know that voice that's been with you for so long, since you can remember, since you were two speaking in your head? That's not you. And see, if you can separate yourself from that, and that voice is put to death, now all of a sudden, what's left is that still small voice of the Spirit of God, the stillness in your soul, and now you can just be.
But that'll be a constant challenge.
No, it'll be tested, but there is that. There's a, hey, ¿cómo estás? Come. So we just were finishing up on consciousness.
Consciousness.
Yeah.
You have any questions? Consciousness.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. But the point being that the voice in your head is not you. All right, cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay. Unbelievable.
Praise God. No, I mean, and I think God wants us to know that and understand that, because ultimately He wants us to know what true reality is. But in order for us to live in and experience true reality, we have to know what's false. And next week we'll probably get into then the actual new stuff. So
basically, the mind has its own mind. That's what we're talking about.
Well, it's just too complex. We'll go through some. So but we're out of time for sure right now. So so we'll stop.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. We'll stop. And
just waited for the chief guest to come to stop.
Yeah. Okay. No, but the thing about there's a voice of the Spirit of God that's in you. That's the true one. And that's the one that we need to... that should be the one that is where we get our direction, where we get our thought about who we are, where we frame our reality, our frame of reference for your time here in this world. It should be there. There's also a voice that's been with you since you were born that speaks to you in your own tone of voice, sounds like you, smells like you, everything, but it's not you.
Yeah.
And that's the voice that keeps you a slave to this world and the world system. And if you can understand that, first, most people don't know that voice is not them. They think it's them. And so for their whole life they've been thinking that voice is them, and it's not. And that's the voice that tells you, you know, you're not tall enough, or you're not short enough, or you're not big enough, or you're not fast enough, or you never amount to anything, or you, or you.
There
is a difference between the two, and even with that voice, though, too. You know, there's sometimes that it will even put you in a pursuit of certain things spiritually. But ultimately, that, because sometimes it'll also inflate you. Be like, yeah, way to go, you got the contract. Good job. You really are something, aren't you? You know, it's all of that. It's not always just tearing you down.
I deserve that.
Yeah, I'm
better than that.
Yeah.
I can do it.
So it's...
Who's been calling an idiot?
Yeah. That's the ego.
But with that voice, there's a still small voice of the Spirit of God. Here's some indicators of what that voice will sound like. One, it's ever-present. So when the Spirit of God speaks to you in your spirit, it's ever-present. It's right now. It's here's where you are right now in connection with the Father and with the Spirit of God. So when He speaks to you, because God is I Am, when His voice speaks to you, it's right now. You know, that other voice will get you wrapped up in what was and what will be, and will get you out of I Am. Just that in and of itself will be a little bit of an indicator. But also the voice of the Spirit of God in you will line up with the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God.
And the Spirit and the soul and the consciousness go hand in hand, go together.
So
we'll
repost this when you can go through it. So but we'll
too much of information at one time.
Okay. So we'll stop there, but we're gonna be doing